there were multiple times where Leader Jeffries or Leader Schumer would say, you know what, we should be doing this. And the President of the United States would say, yeah, absolutely, let's have that conversation. But we're going to do it in the context of the people's government being open. We're not going to let you take the people's government hostage and then give you everything that you want.
That is, of course, Vice President J.D. Vance talking yesterday after the meeting in the White House on the Schumer shutdown, I think is the popular way to term it. Welcome back into the show. Mark Cox here alongside Dan Buck this morning, filling in for Kim St. Ange. And we got Ethan Bright over here running the board. Glad to have you back at the show. Wanted to get sort of the insight on what the Democrats are demanding to keep the government from shutting down. And we invited Congressman Mike Boss to join us from the great state of Illinois in District 12 over there. And Congressman, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Great to have you on. So what about the Schumer shutdown? You think it's going to happen tonight?
Well, the sad thing is, I'm afraid it is. I wish it didn't, because it makes no sense. They're demanding 1.5, a totally ridiculous demand that will not happen. Look, remember this. The House Republicans did their job. They sent the bill over. Now the Senate, which is really wild because the Democrats have actually voted for CRs just to keep the government open, argued that they have 13 times during the Biden administration. Wow. Now think about that. 13 wow. times. Now think about this. Their ask, which is such a ridiculous ask, is they want $1.5 trillion
with a T
put back into the CR so they can continue to provide medical assistance through Medicaid for those who are in this country illegally.
That's unbelievable. And that's a hill, I mean, that's a hill they're willing to die on.
All I can say is, and let me tell you this, here's what I believe. Okay, let's look at the political side of this for Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is in a loss situation politically. Not for the country, because the right thing for the country is put the votes on it. Now, and remember, Fetterman has said he's not going to be involved in this dance. He's actually wanting to keep government open. Let's work on getting the budget from this next year passed, but make sure we keep government open. But Schumer has a AOC that is going to challenge him, and she's going to challenge him anyway, in a primary. And he's afraid of losing that seat to the radical group of Democrats from New York. And not only that, then if he doesn't put this shutdown in place, because he's taking heat for 7 months ago for doing the sensible thing and giving arguments why we shouldn't shut government down. So now here he is. He is sitting here trying to move forward, making strictly a political move to protect his political capital. Because he will also be challenged for the leadership on the Democrats in the Senate if he doesn't do this. But the question is, and this is a real big question. Okay, once he shuts it down at midnight tonight, which he's going to do, how does he get out of it? What is it that he thinks that the president will agree to that we can put 60 votes on in the House that we would agree to?
Yes.
That allows him to save face after he makes a shutdown. He would be better off not allowing the shutdown, put his members on that need to be on, and go ahead and let's keep the government open. Let's go to work on the budget. Let's get the budget passed. We're just talking to November 21st. That's what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
We're looking at giving us the authority to keep moving forward, allowing government to continue to work, provide services for our veterans, make sure that the people can still get their visas, make sure the list goes on and on and on.
Sure.
And what's wild is we can go back and look at all of the statements of the Democrats in the past of why you shouldn't have a shutdown.
Congressman Mike Bost, our guest this morning. Great to have him on here. I know you are the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, correct? Is that still true?
That is correct.
There's been a lot of focus on who's impacted by a shutdown. Obviously, we'd love to avoid it. Does it affect veterans? Does it affect active duty service members?
You know what?
Parks?
I'm not going to give you a political answer from somebody that's wanting to say, you know, look, if this is terrible, the world's going to fall apart. Let me say this about veterans, because I talked to the secretary, late last night. We have about 98% of the veterans community of our veteran employees that are essential.
Okay.
So we're not going to cut off our veterans. Okay. Now, remember, if you remember, during the long shutdown of Obama, he started closing and locking gates to our national parks and everything like that. I think maybe we should just shut down the IRS.
I made that point.
EPA.
Yep.
You know.
Department of Education. We're planning to do that anyway. Just shut that down for
that's
now.
Correct. Right. That's correct. Yeah, we can do that. So, but the thing is, you're going to start seeing it. One time it was described to me, and this is a very good way to describe it. The very best day of a government shutdown is the first day. And then it gets worse after that because more and more people realize the essentials of things. Let's say you are in a business where a lot of your employees or you and yourself have to travel overseas. If all of a sudden your visas can't get handled, your passports, all of these type things. You know, the essential jobs are going to be there, but the thing is, the paperwork in the back doesn't get handled. Of course, sometimes government moves so slow, even when they are working. But, you know, these are the type things that you're going to start seeing. And then it's when, you know, I got a lot of people in my district that go, let it shut down. We don't need it anyway. Actually, you do. You do. But yeah. You'll start seeing different things occur. I don't want to see any veteran lose out on making sure they're getting medical care they need, and they won't. We'll make sure that happens.
Well, that's good, and you've got a few hours left in the day. I don't know if there's any real chance that gets fixed or not. You know, yesterday, speaking of your home state of Illinois, there, I heard your governor make some comments. I wanted to get your thoughts on. Would you go to cut number 6 for me, please, Ethan?
In Broadview, people nonviolently holding signs and chanting against brutality, expressing their First Amendment rights, have been regularly attacked with chemical agents like tear gas, pepper spray, rubber bullets, and flashbangs. Agents reportedly unholstered their guns and pointed them at protesters. In their own words, ICE intended to unleash, quote, a show in the Broadview community. Without provocation and acting like jackbooted thugs, ICE has attacked.
Wow.
Yeah, referring to our members of ICE as jackbooted thugs. What's his point here?
Well, his point is he's trying to argue against protecting the Illinois citizens from violent crime. So, because when we come in for the ICE, it is people who are here illegally. Many of them have committed terrible, heinous crimes. And because of his own law that he signed into effect here in the state of Illinois, my own law enforcement cannot report to ICE when they have a hardened criminal that is here illegally in custody to allow ICE to come pick them up. You want a good example of that? I just had a conversation with a sheriff. I will not name that sheriff, but contacting me and saying, I've got a complaint, because this is what I've told them to do. I've got a complaint. I can't talk to ICE. Well, what's the complaint? And then they give me a name, they give me a case number, and they give me a location. So I'm doing that.
Good. Thank you.
because I've told my sheriffs, I'm sorry that they put you in a catch-22, okay? But this is the type guy that is now the governor of this state. Now, remember, he doesn't understand what the working man... So you remember a couple weeks ago, he took a walk along the lake.
Yes.
On the north side, in a good neighborhood, with bodyguards, and said, look how safe it is.
Yeah.
Go to the south side, don't have your bodyguards, and then when a bullet wings past your head, then all of a sudden you're going to realize how bad it is.
It's a great point. Congressman Bost, listen, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. It's always great having you on.
Well, thank you for having me on, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. We will talk soon, sir. Congressman Mike Boss from Illinois District 12.
Just, it's so ridiculous to hear a governor calling any branch of the law enforcement, any branch. I don't care who it is. These ICE officers are really no different than a sheriff's department or a police department. They are doing the job that Congress set laws for them to do. They're only enforcing existing laws. And by the way, the quote-unquote peaceful protesters that Pritzker said, did you see the video of these guys physically blocking vehicles, stepping in front of gates where they're trying to enter in and out with criminals and fugitives in their vehicles? They have every right to clear that zone physically, use tear gas, whatever it is. You want to be a protester to violate and stop police from doing their jobs, you're going to, you know, FAFO.
You're going to pay the price.
Right.
That's a great point. All right. So Pete Hegseth just got done addressing his top generals. We played a little bit of it earlier live. I've got a couple clips I want to play for you. It was epic. Can I just tell you, epic is the only word I can think of for what Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, stood up and said to these generals, many of whom will probably be tendering their resignation a little later this afternoon before facing their first PT test in 25 years. We're going to get to that. Plus, President Trump is getting ready to speak to that same group. If it happens live while we're on the air, we'll go to it. I promise you that. We're going to be back in just a minute. Well, shout out. I have to tell you, today is a sad day for the local television news industry, as one Dan Buck can attest along with me, because one of our longtime friends, in fact, I've known the guy for 32 years because we got to Channel 4 the same year in 1993, and that's Gary Womack, retiring today from Channel 4. Today's his last day as a photographer, and then I think tomorrow he signs all the paperwork and dots all the I's and says goodbye to everybody, and hanging it up.
St. Louis TV loses one of the best photojournalists ever.
So talented.
Ever. I mean, really. I mean, Gary was just the standard. I don't know how many Emmys he's been a part of, but the guy is outrageous. Him and Al Frank. I don't know if you remember Al.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a great producer. They would put together some incredible stuff together. Oh, man, what a great dude. Happy, what do you call it? I mean, well, happy retirement? Is he actually stopping?
Or
is he
said he's going to be a grandpa full time.
Hey,
that's what he said on his Facebook page.
And he'll be a great one.
You know, my friend Christy Shearer, who I used to anchor with the morning show at Channel 4, I saw her comment on there, and she pointed this out. She said she appreciated Gary because he was a master at lighting, and he could make anybody look good in a live shot. Even if the sun was behind you, he'd put the big filter up and the lights. And that's an art, because I can tell you from working in that business, I wouldn't say there's probably 5 or 6, maybe 10% of photographers know how to do that. Gary was one of the best at it. No doubt about it.
He was good at that, but the few times I got to work with Gary was in spot news. He's also a hustler, man. That dude will get you the angles. He will get up there as close as they possibly can to get you the shots. I mean, whether it's a burning building or whatever, he was just bold and brave. He was awesome.
So if you know Gary, some of you might. He's always where he's a big University of Tennessee fan. He's a big Volunteer fan. Mm-hmm. Went to school there. He loves the Volunteers. Named his son Peyton. That just so you know how much he loves the Volunteers. Wore that either a hat or a shirt from Tennessee all the time, and I end up with him at the University of Missouri one time. I can't remember why we were down there. Gary Pinkel was the coach. He had just been hired, and Gary shows up wearing a Tennessee hat, and Pinkel asked him to take it off. Because he was trying to build build something at Mizzou, and he didn't want people in there with hats from other schools. And, you know, because he's got such a good heart, Gary said, I understand completely. He's proud of his school, and he took his hat off. Because that's nice. The kind of guy he was, instead of telling him to shove it.
I can't believe Pinkel did that, actually, to be quite honest with you.
I do. I remember that.
Yeah, that's great.
I've talked to Gary about that before, but they're having a little going away party for him Saturday, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and having some good old
memories.
That's
awesome. Please tell him hello for me. I'm out of town, or I'd be down there too. So that's awesome.
Well, good. Well, congratulations, Gary. We're very happy for you, my friend.
And all the people who've worked with you are going to miss you. That's for sure.
Yes.
I'm sure Channel 4 is mourning him leaving and no longer shooting.
Yep, I'm sure they are. Hey, before I run out of time here, the president's getting ready to speak to the generals. I want to play a bite from Hegseth, the Secretary of War, addressing these generals just a few minutes ago.
For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons, based on their race, based on gender quotas, based on historic so-called firsts. We've pretended that combat arms and non-combat arms are the same thing. We've weeded out so-called toxic leaders under the guise of double-blind psychology assessments, promoting risk-averse go-along-to-get-along conformists instead. You name it, the department did it. Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading, and we lost our way. We became the woke department.
Yep, not the War Department. It was epic. Some of his comments were great. President Trump has just started addressing this group of generals. Let's listen in for a minute. Ethan, please.
So you just have a good time, but I want to thank Secretary Hegseth and General Kane, General Raisin Kane for a reason, they call him that. When I heard his name, I said, you're the guy I'm looking for. The Joint Chiefs of Staff and so many others in this room who together represent the greatest and most elite fighting force in the history of the world, the United States military. We're very proud of our military. I rebuilt the military during my first term. It's one of the greatest achievements. We had the greatest economy in history, and I built the military. Those are the two things I say more than anything else. And I also kept us safe at the borders. We had very good borders. We didn't have people coming in from jails and prisons and everything like took place over the last 4 years. They'll never forget what happened to this country over the last 4 years with the incompetence. There could be no higher honor than to serve as your commander in chief. It is a great honor. I look at you, you're just incredible people.
Yep, Central that's so the president president just started speaking. We got to go to a quick break here. We'll try to pick some of that up on the other side of the break. Ryan Wiggins is going to join us as well. Stay tuned.
St. Louis Conservative.
They're totally detectable. We can detect them easily. We go right to the spot. But we have genius apparatus that doesn't allow detection. It doesn't allow detection at all by anybody above water or below water. It's incredible. We're way ahead of everybody in that and other things. As a result of the exciting renewal of the spirit of our armed forces, and that's what it is, it's really reaching that spirit unprecedented heights. Over the past 8 months, new enlistments, I'm so proud of this, have surged to record highs, the highest we've ever had. And we used to have recruiting shortages. If you remember, about a year and a half ago, I was at the beginning stage of a campaign. And things came out that you couldn't get people to join the armed forces. And by the way, the police also. Fire department. I always put the fire department in because they're great. They're great. And I got 95% of their vote, too. That helps. When you get 95% of their vote, you always have to mention them. But they're great. And they're brave.
So that's President Trump addressing the top brass in the United States military right now at Quantico. And he followed Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, who just absolutely gave an epic speech on ending wokeness in the military, and then invited any general who felt bad about his comments to please do the service a favor and resign.
Yeah.
He said, because we're done with you.
After he gave all of the changes that are going to happen in the woke, he said, if this puts a pit in your stomach and makes you feel awkward or makes you feel queasy about the future of the Department of War, we will accept your resignation today.
Nice.
I mean, he said, now I know the majority of you are excited and that this gets your blood pumping again, that we're going to be able to do what we do and we will do it better than anyone on earth. And it was an amazing speech. Yeah, I mean, he went after fitness. He went after, you know, standards. He went after all of the he said, I'm tired of seeing fat generals at the Pentagon. I mean, use the word fat.
He did say fat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it's a priceless speech. And now the president's on.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, the president bugs me sometimes. Just, I mean, stay on script. Imagine being his speechwriter. You write this amazing speech and the dude never stays on speech. He starts rambling about things and one thought leads to another thought leads to another thought. Meanwhile,
he starts talking about the N-word. Did you hear that
just a few minutes ago?
Gosh, come on. And he did call it the N-word. He goes, there are two N-words. You can't use either one of them.
Yeah.
But it was just, it just didn't
nuclear
fit in the speech.
And, yeah, the other one.
Yeah.
And he just ad-libbed that. I'm like, why? What? Where are you at, man? You're talking to your generals. Come on.
It was. It's something to hear for sure. Oh. Try to pick up that speech from Hegseth if you can. Let's go ahead and get to Wiggins.
Wiggins. Oh! Wiggins! Oh,
Ryan Wiggins just back from feeding the mouse. Bob Iger would like to thank you for your contribution, Ryan. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much. We tried to give him as little as possible while taking as much as we could.
I'm sure you did, my friend. Yeah, welcome back. We were both on vacation then, I guess, last week, huh?
Yeah, how was yours?
Oh, it was great. Fantastic. 10 days. Got to traipse across Europe and see some castles. I told my grandson about, I got to see a real couple of real castles when I was in Europe.
Yeah.
Because he just went to Disney.
Uh-huh.
And his comment was, but when I saw a castle dead with fireworks, Papa, did you see fireworks? I'm like, no, I did not. Cinderella's castle trumped me on that one for sure.
Yeah, you got a little bit longer vacation than I did. You went a little further, but we did get to see some fireworks. Getting back into the swing of things here, I was looking this weekend at, just catching back up on the news just like you do, I'm sure. Get unplugged for a bit and get back into it. And the thing that strikes me the most is that nobody's really talking a lot about the potential government shutdown, which is a huge shift from what it used to be. You know, that used to be the main arrow in the Democrats' quiver, that they could get everybody ginned up and worried, and oh my gosh, it was like the end of the world if there was going to be a partial, and it's always a partial government shutdown because the non-essential workers always have to stay on, you know?
Oh, the essential workers stay on, yeah.
And so it's amazing to me that that's not in the news, because that has been the one area where Democrats have been able to beat Republicans, is that the media would carry water for them and say, well, this is going to be the end of the world, and it's Republicans' fault every time.
Yeah, and they've eaten it so often over the years that it's almost... it's almost taken for granted that the Republicans are going to take the blame for that, right? And they think they may have found a way out of that this time with the Schumer shutdown.
Yes, it's amazing. And this is classic Trump. I mean, this is the stuff that when you vote for the guy, you go, this is what I was voting for. I didn't know you were going to do this, but I knew that you had something up your sleeve. And what he's doing is amazing. He's taken away their messaging, because they can't figure out, the Axios article I was reading this morning even said that Democrats are in complete disarray. They are in open mutiny against Schumer because half the party just doesn't want to do any deal because there's Trump. And so they can't figure that out. And then Trump's going, oh, by the way, if all these workers are non-essential, let's get ready to start firing them.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for, right? Because they very well might just start axing people after they've been furloughed.
And so the Democrats are in this spot where they're going, okay, we either have to negotiate with Trump and give Republicans, I don't know if everything they want, but most of what they want here, or we have to shut the government down and lose all these government, basically trim the size of the federal government more and give Trump more of an excuse to do it. So you really have no way, they have no message, and they have no direction again because of Trump.
Well, we had your Congressman Mike Bost on just a few minutes ago, the top of the hour, and he was talking about the fact that, nobody wants a government shutdown. And just a year ago, you heard Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries saying, this is the worst thing we could do. We're depriving the American people. And yet they're willing to shut the government down if they don't, tear down part of the wall. But the president said that's part of what they've asked for in this concession, is to go back and dismantle part of the southern border wall, where, by the way, there have been zero crossings now for, 3 months straight.
They also want the rescissions that Doge, that was another big part. All the cuts that Doge put into place and the rescissions that went into the budget, they want all of those put back in too. Like, wait a minute, those are already cuts. We've already gotten rid of those positions, already got rid of that fraud, already got rid of that corruption, and they want to reinstate that, including USAID. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're asking.
Yeah, and some of the things, too, that because some of that's just sort of like bloviations they know they're probably not going to get. But let's ask big, and then we'll negotiate like we're losing it.
Right.
But the big one that they're actually negotiating for is health care and health insurance, I should call it, because it's not health care. We all have health care. But health insurance for illegal immigrants is part of Obamacare that they're trying to keep funded. And, you know, this was a part of, there's so much involved with the Big Beautiful Bill and the budget from last time they did this and all that. But these are things that they continue to need to cut. And they've had to make concessions. Republicans have had to make some concessions to get to where we're at now. But like I said, now they're in a position where they really have all the cards. They have the Trump card, if you want to put it that way. And they need to negotiate nothing. They should get everything that they want, or Trump, just because the Supreme Court has already told him he can start cutting non-essential employees if they're not going to work. And there's no upside for Democrats here. They have a no-win situation.
Stay tuned. That could happen tomorrow. In fact, we'll know shortly. Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America, please.
7 to 8 on Saturday morning, 7 to 8 on Sunday evening.
And, of course, every day on the Andy Fry Show. You're back in this afternoon, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. See you, buddy.
Awesome, brother.
Okay, see ya.
Yep, thanks. Appreciate that. All right, quick break. We'll dip back into the president's speech here to his military leaders when we come back from the break. And my friend Thomas Helbig is going to join us in studio. Stay tuned. Well, we're still monitoring the president's speech to the generals at Quantico. No breaking news out of there yet. He's mentioned the peace process in Israel and that he's working on that with Hamas. But if anything breaks here before the end of the show, we'll have it for you. If not, Brian Kilmeade will have all of that covered for you. Right now, I want to welcome in my friend Thomas Helbig. Of course, Thomas and I have been working together for years now with the Retirement Advisory Group, and we're going to get together again Thursday night out at the Frontenac Hilton. Welcome in, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Great to have you. I'm doing fine.
Good to be back. Remember, this is the last event of the year. So, if you're listening out there, you need to attend this event if you're nearing retirement or already retired.
And it's free, so you can show up and just listen and take notes. And here's the thing about it. I've sat through a number of these over the years. I always learn something new, and every time I talk to somebody who attended one, they're like, I didn't know that. Like, how come my Wall Street-based broker didn't tell me that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And folks, we're going to address 4 big topics. These are important topics if you're already retired or are nearing retirement. How many of you are out there right now are wondering if your current 401k or your IRA is going to last through your retirement? Everybody does. We're going to address that. Secondly, do you have your own personalized structured income plan? Everybody needs to have this because it will show you 3 things. Number one, it will show you if you can afford to retire. Number two, it will show you how much income we're going to be able to generate you every month. But most importantly, it's going to show you how long your money will last. And you need to have this if you don't have one. We'll show you how to get it. Thirdly, markets are at an all-time high right now. That means nothing, though, if we're going to have volatility and you lose these gains. So we're going to teach you a strategy Thursday night how to automatically lock in these gains without having to sell. Because usually you have to sell in order to capture a gain.
Sure.
And most importantly, if you're 59 and a half years old, most people don't know this, you can tax-free roll over your current retirement plan at work and get your money protected so you'll avoid all future losses. So we're going to address all these topics Thursday night.
You know, it's important. I think a lot of people, and I could be wrong about this, but they think of retirement as the day they quit working. But retirement might last for 30 years if you're lucky enough to live that long, right? So you got to think, what's gonna happen to the market 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Or, you know, God forbid, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez becomes president of the United States and everything tanks. So what have you done to protect your nest egg?
Exactly. Right? And you don't want to have to go back to work in your 70s or 80s. So, folks, if you don't want to miss this event, it's the last one of the year, call 314-993-9494. Once again, 314-993-9494. Or go to retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com and sign up.
Well, again, it's 6:30 on Thursday night. Annie will be there. Mark Reardon shows up, and I'll be there. Kind of mingle with people. We have a good time. Thomas provides some cookies and soft drinks if you want something cold to drink.
We have a little trivia starting at 6:30, and I get on and start talking at 6:45, and I'm done in 45 minutes, folks. You'll be done by 7:30 and out the door.
Yeah.
So you don't want to miss this event. It's the last one of the year.
It's informative. Awesome.
Is there any things like, you know, I've got 2 or 3 different pensions.
Okay.
How do you can I consolidate those? Is there strategies?
It depends. We'd have to look at that. But yeah. A lot of times, if you have a pension, if you're already retiring, you have an option. You can roll it over into your own IRA and create your own pension, or you take the pension from your work for life.
Yeah.
But if those are yours, you're going to always have that. But when we put together your personalized structured income plan, we'll put all these assets together. We'll show you, here's where your IRA is, here's your 401k, here's your pension, here's your Social Security. So you'll have everything showing you how much income you're going to be able to generate with all those assets.
Gotcha.
And then most importantly,
so
it will
helpful.
Show you how long it will last.
Yep.
And
well,
that's what everybody wants to know. Will I not run out of money?
And you advise us on when to trigger some of those too,
absolutely.
Right?
There's a time. Absolutely.
I do plan to work.
Right.
No, I mean, I'm not going to retire at 65. I know that. I don't want to retire. So I probably want to delay some of that, correct? I mean, I want to push it.
Absolutely.
Push it up.
You let it delay and keep growing and so on.
Yep.
But we want to show you how to avoid the pitfalls and the losses in the meantime.
Yep. Yep.
Because remember on Wall Street, the market goes up and down. You can be having great returns and all of a sudden 1 year lose it all.
It wipes it all
and
out.
Then, so
it's
we
true.
Want to show you how to lock in those gains automatically without having to sell and to create a taxable event.
All right.
So
well,
folks, don't miss this event.
Yep. Awesome. Give them a call and tell them you want to reserve your spot. It's free. 314-993-9494 or retirementkey.com. Always great to see you, Thomas.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Thank you. I'll see you Thursday night. Thank
see you,
Thursday
night.
All right. As I mentioned a minute ago, the president is still addressing the generals, the top military brass over at Quantico. Pete Hegseth just gave a hell of a speech. I'm sure Brian Kilmeade will carry this or have some of the highlights for you coming up on his show. And then, of course, you can listen to Annie Fry and Mark Reardon to round out the day. Don't forget to get your tickets or RSVP for our big 25th birthday celebration. Go to 971talk.com/events.